Bible, Psalms 9, Psalms 9. Psalms 9, if you would please. We're going to look at verse 7 and 8 and just try to begin something tonight that I pray that God will help us in days to come to share with you. And I hope it'll be a blessing to help us. Stand, please, while I read the Word of God. Psalms 9, 7, but the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. I pause there to say this. You don't have to worry about God going out of business. The Lord shall endure forever. Everything else we know may come and go, but not him. He's going to stay forever. The Word of God's going to stay forever, too. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. Now notice that phrase, he hath, H-A-T-H. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. And thank you for the privilege that we have tonight to be in the house of God and share together the blessings and the praise and the thanks and then our request and the needs. And I pray, Father, that you'd hear and answer prayer. As someone said tonight, how good it is that you're an approachable God. And our Father, we come in Jesus' name, and we come pleading his righteousness, not ours. We have none. But thank you, Lord God, for the righteousness imputed unto us through Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. I pray in Jesus' name, you make the Word of God real to us tonight. Help us, God, to preach. I pray, God, for our people tonight and ask you, Lord, all over the house. You speak to every heart. And I pray, remind us and help us and then those that need convicting your draw. And we'll praise you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to pick up on this subject. Judgment is sure. Judgment is sure. Now, the wedding, the bride, coming of Christ is a reality that stirs your heart. And it's a blessed hope. That's what God, that's what Paul called it in Titus. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And it certainly is a hope. The blessed hope is a truth, a reality. It's going to happen. And it's joy in that to know that we get to meet him. But we also are reminded of the fact that God is also a God of judgment. And we'll get to the judgment right after the rapture a little bit later in this series, if God will let me continue in it as I so feel right now. Brother Eddie Davis was here during Jubilee and made some statements about some things and concerning what was going to happen coming down the road in our lives, future. Thinking about that, it's got me to thinking. Then someone asked me about a certain judgment, asked me a question about it, and made me think. And so I got that on my mind and could not get away from it. And I want to begin preaching on that subject. Judgment is sure. And I pray that God will help us handle each one of these as he would have us to do so. Now, let me say this in introduction, make it very emphatic as much as possible to you. There is no such thing in Bible teaching as a general resurrection. There is no general judgment. That is, some people believe that there would be one resurrection, everybody come out. Now, I realize there's certain scriptures that you read and it'll have both put in the same verse, but if you read all the Bible and compare scripture with scripture, and that's the best commentary on the Bible anyway, is the Bible itself, and compare scripture with scripture, then you'll find that there's not a general resurrection, it's not a general judgment, but there's judgments for different people at different times, and I think it's probably at least five different aspects of judgment and probably five major judgments. And I know that there's many other judgments. Adam and Eve were judged. They were cast out of the garden. I realize that fact. Judgment day of Noah and judgment of God fail. We know that. We're looking forward now. One we're going to look at today is back. But I pray for you that are here that are unsaved that you'll see the realize it can be yours today. But to help us get these judgments in line as they come, and then we'll start with this one and that we're going to deal with tonight. And dealing with judgments at a different time, different place, different subject, different basis of judgment, and different results of these judgments. And so we need to understand that. And I pray that God would help us get it all together as he would have us to do so best as we can by the grace of God and the word of God. I'll say this real quickly. I don't have all the answers, and I don't know everything. And I know y'all thought I did, but I don't. I know better. Y'all know I know more. The older I get, the more I realize I don't know than what I do know. And but I do believe that God does teach us some things that we can know. And so we'll deal with the things that we can know by the word of God. And that'll settle that part, and we won't have to worry about it. And I'm starting tonight with a judgment of saved sinners. Now, when I say saved sinners, I know that that phrase can be used in thinking about judgment here in this life. I know it can be used in that way. It can be used at a time in the future. But if you wanted to stretch it and think about it, but what I'm thinking about is a judgment when mankind was judged and about the sin of Adam. I guess that's a good way of putting it. And you'll follow me here in just a moment because of what we're going to say about this. But I thought about this and tried to find the terminology for it that would fit it the best. And I didn't want to get a real long terminology, but I guess to put it a little bit more lengthy than just save sinners judgment, and save sinners that God did for them so that they could be saved. How's that? I guess that's one way of putting it. But anyway, some of you Bible scholars, y'all can come up with a real good title for that. But tonight, anyway, I'm just going to deal with the fact that our judgment as sinners. Now, everybody has sinned. Is that not right? The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no question about it. But all have sinned. And we are sinners because of Adam. He sinned. That made us have a nature of sin. But we also are sinners by choice. Every person in this house, you can't blame it all on Adam. You sinned by choice. You had a choice to make, and you chose to sin. And so we can. And so by in Adam, we're all sinners. We're also sinners by choice, by our own will that we sinned against God. And so we recognize that fact. But I want to talk about this judgment. This excites my soul because I know that it's over with. It's past. It's history. And as we think about the time of it. It happened about 30 A.D. or 31 A.D. And I don't know exact time, the year it happened, because different Bible scholars different about how we reckon time from the time of Christ. But Christ died at about 33 years old, 33 and a half, somewhere in there. So somewhere in there is when this took place, and that judgment took place. I'm glad it did. It keeps me out of another judgment. Amen, because of that judgment that I have already experienced, it keeps me out of another judgment that's coming down the road in the future, and we'll get to that judgment later as we talk about judgment. But this happened at a place called Calvary. Look with me, if you would, please, in Luke chapter number 23 and verse number 23. In Luke 23, verse 23, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, the one on the right hand, the other on the left. And so they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. That's a place that took place, a place of a skull just outside of Jerusalem, and a place where criminals were crucified and died and were put to death. And so that's where Jesus died for our sin, paid our sin debt. And the subject there was the fact that man was a sinner and that God was a holy God and righteous and had to deal with sin. God can't deny himself, and God has to deal with sin, so he had to do so, and he did. And then the basis of that judgment was our guilt, but thank God for his righteousness. Amen. His righteousness. I'm glad for 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he, God, hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin. He made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. I am glad for the place called Calvary. Now, I want you to turn with me in Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter number 53. The great love verse, chapter of the Old Testament about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. I love to read it, and I like to read it publicly every once in a while because of the truth of it and how it puts it down for us. And I don't believe you can improve on the way God said it. And God said it, so I want to back up to verse 1. We're really picking up verse 3, but I want to get verse 1 and 2 just to get the setting. Who have believed our report? And I read over the New Testament, somebody else said that. Who have believed our report? Paul writing one time, talked about it. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. You remember Sunday I was preaching and mentioned about that renowned plant. And I said, I remember the root of Jesse, root out of dry ground. Here he's talking about that tender plant, root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. Now get this. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Talking about Jesus now. We sometimes look at people and we migrate to those that may have that way about them and their looks about them and all that. And it says about Jesus, ain't no comeliness about him. And there's no beauty about him that you would desire him. And the physical aspect of it. And he was a man like we're a man. And so he talked about that. Verse number 3. But here's where it gets down to where it really affects us. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our face from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And I want you to notice in this how many times it's saying our. It wasn't for his, it was for us that he died. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. And when he's talking about that, he's talking about spiritual healing there. And I realize the fact God has as much power to heal physically as he ever did. But had he been talking about physical healing there, then after you got saved, you never get sick. Because he's already paid. That's what the Bible said. I'm giving you what the Bible says. And so I hope y'all follow that and don't take me wrong on that. Amen. And verse number 6, we all like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted and he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from the prison, from judgment. Paul's there to say this. He opened not his mouth. The Bible talks about that. He could have called legions of angels to come and set him free. And the song says he could have called 10,000 angels. He could have called more than that. He could have called them to set him free. He could have spoke the word and the world would have disappeared. He could have spoke the universe out of existence. He spoke it into existence. He could speak it out of existence. Had the same power. And when he was on the cross of Calvary, he could have stepped down off of it had he wanted to. He could have done what he wanted to do. But he, by his own volition, died for our sin. Paid our price. He opened not his mouth. Didn't say anything. And about that, he opened his mouth to the thief that repented. He said, Father, forgive them that sinned. He cried to the Father, why was he forsaken? There wasn't words he said. 7 different things he said on the cross. But I want you to know he didn't open his mouth in complaint. He didn't open his mouth in his own defense. He didn't say, I'm not guilty. He didn't say any of that. He said, I'll take your place and I'll pay your price. And tonight I can't get over the fact that he took my place and paid my price. I should have died on the cross. I should have shed my blood. I should have went to hell. I ought to be in hell tonight. But he took my place. He paid my price. And I say hallelujah. And thank God, thank God, thank God. He took my place. He did. Every time I think about that, I think about a story about Big Tom and little Jim. And I'm going to tell all that story. But about a little boy at school stole Tom's lunch. And Tom was a big old boy. And they made rules at school that whoever stole would be striped so many times. And when they come to little Jim's time, found out who he was and what he'd done, they told him to take his coat off, and he didn't want to do it. And the teacher asked him why, and he took his coat off because he didn't have a shirt on. He said, I don't have but one shirt, and Mama's washing it today. And I stole Tom's lunch because I didn't have anything to eat, and I was hungry. And he was crying, and big old Tom stood up, big old rough boy, and said, Teacher, we don't have any rules. Says, I can't take his place, do we? And they decided not so, and by that time the schoolmaster was crying. This is years ago. And big Tom said, I'll take his place, and I'll take his stripes for him, and he'll not have to do that. And tore up the whole class. And I say, hallelujah. That's what God did for me. He was my big Tom. He took my place. I was the one that ought to have paid the price. I was the one's guilty. And big Tom hadn't stole anything. He hadn't took anything. But he said, I care enough, and I'll take his place. And fact is, little Jim had stole his lunch. And fact is, I'd sinned against God. I was the one that put Jesus to shame. I was guilty. But yet he took my place. And said, I love him enough, I care enough for him, and I'll take his place and pay his sin. I'll pay his price. Glory to God and the Lamb forever. I say hallelujah for that. Look at verse number 8. He was taken from the prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he's cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord. That's one of the greatest verses, one of the most startling verses, most profound verses in Scripture. It's verse number 10 here. The other one in the New Testament, when Jesus cried and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Those two verses, I believe, are the most profound words ever uttered in all Scripture and all the universe. It says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. Now notice it pleased the Lord to bruise him. I can't get over that. He hath put him to grief. And thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. But here's the result of this judgment. Jesus went to the cross and paid the price. But notice the results of it. Now we said all these judgments have a result. Verse number 11 of Isaiah 53. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Hallelujah. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Hallelujah. He took my place. Made sin for us, and you know sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now when God sees me, he sees me in the righteousness of his darling son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He does not see me, nor you if you're saved, in your own sin, in your ungodliness, in your filth. That prodigal son came home. The father said, put the best robe on him. Just covered up all that old filth and put the best robe on him and took him to the house. I say hallelujah. That's what God did for me. He cleaned me up and put the best robe on me. And now as far as my standing, I'm not talking about my daily walk now. I'm talking about my standing before God as a saved man, born again. I mean birth in the family of God. I was talking to a man yesterday in the hospital, and he's a different denomination, and he said, well, he told me what he was, and they believed you could lose salvation. He said, I'm going to believe what we believe, but I hope y'all right. I've kind of got tickled at that. We're going to believe what we believe, but I hope y'all right. And so I thought, well, that's pretty good. We are right, amen. And in fact, if you really trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and put all your faith and trust in him, you see, my daily walk of life has nothing at all to do with my standing. As God sees me, absolutely, I'm seated with Christ right now in heavenly places. I'm as good as delivered in heaven already. You say, preacher, then that gives you a license to sin. No, no. You wait till we get to another judgment. You'll find out about that. We have no license. We have all the liberty. We have liberty in Christ to live for God and to bring glory to him and magnify his name and give him glory. Amen. If you're really saved and born in the family of God, that's your desire anyhow. But you will fail God. You do come short of the glory of God. But when you do, you will feel dirty and unclean, and you will be convicted of it, and you will want to get it right. Amen. And we'll get to that later too. But right now, I'm dealing with the fact of our standing before God. Jesus Christ paid the price in full. It is paid now. It will never have to be paid again. Ain't never another lamb. John the Baptist saw Jesus said coming and said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And every other lamb just covered it over. Every year they had to do it over and over and over and over. But thank God Jesus came to take it away. I'm glad Jesus carried my sin away. When they, in the Old Testament, they had two goats. One was a scapegoat and one they sacrificed. And they laid their hands on their heads and confess their sin. They'd take one goat and cut his throat and sacrifice. The other scapegoat they'd take out there somewhere and turn loose in the wilderness and let it go away from everybody and never be seen again. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus did with my sin. He took it far away. In fact, I'm gonna give you some scripture tonight that'll just reinforce all that. This is a past judgment now. I want you to know it's past. It has already happened. It's already done. It's finished. And nothing can be added to it nor taken from it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm glad for the judgment of Calvary. Judgment of what Jesus did for me at Calvary. He took it all away. And thank God it's finished. I accepted him one day as my Lord and my Savior. God accepted that judgment that had already passed. I was in Christ, judged in him. He was made my sin. That put me in him. I was already judged. I already died. I've already paid. Jesus paid the price. And he identified as me now. And that means that. Glory, hallelujah. If that ever dawned on you, you'll run around your bedroom 15 times. You flip over the bed, shout hallelujah, amen. Just think about it. Already happened, already over with. And I mean, you can't ever be judged as a sinner again. You can't be judged unsaved again. It's already, if you're saved, I'm talking about if you're saved. If you're saved, you can't be judged. That'd be double jeopardy. Amen. Maybe they're judging you twice for the same thing and presenting you for the same thing. Already been judged, sins, and thank God the price has been paid in full, and therefore I don't have to ever be judged for that crime again. Hallelujah. Amen. That's good preaching. Amen. In Romans chapter 10, verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And Romans 8, 1, there is therefore now no condemnation in which are in Christ Jesus. Walk out of flesh, and not, walk out of spirit, and not after the flesh. I say praise God. John 5, 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that hath sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And I think I know what is. It means is. He hath, already past tense, passed from death unto life, and now is. I say hallelujah. I am now saved. I will be saved tomorrow, and I'll be saved 10,000 years from tonight. I'm saved forever. Amen. Glory to God. I like it. Amen. It's already happened. It's already passed. I said I was going to nail this down how good it is. I'm going to give you scripture for it. I want you to know our sin problem is taken care of. It's over with. It's finished. It's done. Look in Psalms 103. Psalms 103. We'll start reading verse number 10. I want to get to verse 12, but I like 10 and 11 so good we'll read them too. Amen. Just plug them in for good measure. Here's what it said. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. I said, glory, glory, glory. For as the heavens is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far, now get this, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west. Now, if you go north, you get the North Pole, and you'll start south. And when you do that, you pinpoint the place and say, there it is. And if you go south, you can go to South Pole and you can hit that pole and keep going, you'll be going north. But if you go east and keep going east, you come back to the same place and still be going east. I don't understand that, but I believe it. Amen. I know you go north and start south. I know you go south and start north, but I know if you go west and keep going west, you'll always be going west. You never go east, you're always going west. If you go east, you're always going east and never going west. I say hallelujah. He said as far as the east is from the west, those twain shall never meet. Amen. Hallelujah. That's good. Look with me in Isaiah chapter 38 and verse number 17. Isaiah chapter 38 and verse number 17. Here's what it says. Behold, the peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul, delivered it from the pit of corruption. Hallelujah. Hallelujah is not in scripture. I just had that in there. I just want to say hallelujah right there. For thou hast cast off all my sins behind thy back. Amen. As far as the east is from the west, and has cast all my sins behind his back. I say hallelujah. Micah 7:19 says, thou hast cast all their sins into the depth of the sea. And these places in the sea where they haven't even measured the depth of it. They don't know how deep it really is. I say hallelujah. He said, I cast the sins in the depth of the sea. Put them behind his back. I put them as far as the east is from the west. And then Hebrews 8:12 says that for their sins and iniquities have I forgotten. For I will remember them no more. So he forgot. He willed to, God don't forget anything except what he wills to forget. He willed to forget all my sin. And said he'll never remember against me anymore. I say hallelujah. Praise God and the Lamb forever. That's why the songwriter wrote that song. What sins are you talking about? When the devil brings up sin you committed before you got saved, say, what sins you talking about? They're on the blood. And I'll plug this one in right here. When he brings up sin that you have committed after you got saved and you have confessed and forsaken, you can ask him what sin he's talking about. Because when God took care of my sin, they's all future. I wasn't even born. He didn't pay for what I'd done in the past. I wasn't even in existence, amen. I came later down the road, but he knew all my sin. And he put it all on you. Instead of giving us a license to sin, I'll make us want not to sin. Because every time we sin, we make more for him to suffer, amen. And so we ought to want not to sin. That'll dawn on you and you'll have a time over that one too. I say praise God for the reality of fact that God says I'll remember them no more. I'll never bring them up again. I can't get over that. Hallelujah. Every time I fail God and I go to God in prayer and I sincerely ask God to forgive me and cleanse me and wash it all away and take it away from me. I'm glad, praise God, he puts it under the blood. If I walk in the light as he's in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. I say hallelujah. And when God cleanses it with his blood, it'll never be brought up again. Hallelujah. I'm not going to be judged for that sin. It's taken care of. Glory to God and the Lamb forever. And I say praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him. And if you're not saved tonight, you ought to run to Jesus and get saved. You ought to run to him and get saved. Because he'll put it all under the blood. And you can know you're saved forever and forever and forever and forever. Amen. Now, what about when we do sin this life? That's another message. And we'll get it at another time. You hang with me here on Wednesday nights. And we'll try to get that one too. What happens if we don't confess? We'll get to that. But I'm telling you right now, as far as you're standing with God's concerned, it's settled forever. It's forever already settled. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and it cannot be blotted out. Amen. Praise God and the Lamb forever. Brother Jimmy, that make you want to turn flips. Make you want to run the Pigeon Forge. Amen. If you're going for the right reason, the Pigeon Forge. Yeah. Praise God, I'm glad. God blesses. God gives us a good time. Judgment, sure. I got to close. It's real good, but we need to realize the fact that God let Jesus come in this world, go to the cross, pay our sin debt. It's paid in full. Never to be brought up again. Put it away. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the truth of the Word of God, that you have put our sins far away, that you took them all away, and that you have buried them in the sea of forgetfulness, put them behind your back, as far as east is from the west. Lord, thank you. And I pray tonight you'd help us, God, to remember how saved we really are. We're your children, born in the family of God, headed to glory. But now, Father, maybe somebody in the house that's not saved. They've never really been saved. They may have joined a church or they may be religious, but they're not saved. I pray the Holy Spirit bring conviction, draw them to Jesus, that they do business tonight with you, let you save them. cry out, I'm a sinner, and you do the saving, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want you to stand there for a few moments while she, well, Brother